If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
Today, I'm beginning a brand new series entitled, The Bible Says What? Because that's the reaction of some people. I didn't know that was in the Bible. So over the next several weeks, we're going to look at some surprising principles taught in the Bible. I want to begin today with a scripture in Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 37. Matthew 10, verse 37, Jesus is speaking. He says, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Skipping down to verse 42. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. The title of this first message in the series, The Bible Says What? The title of today's message is this: to truly live, you have to die. To truly live, you have to die. In the Western movie, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, the two outlaws find themselves being chased by an angry posse. And their luck seems to run out as they flee to a high cliff that overlooks a raging river. Butch suggests to Sundance that they jump, but Sundance refuses. Finally, as the lawmen close in for the kill, Butch asks Sundance why he doesn't want to jump. Sundance admits he can't swim. Butch laughs and says, well, the fall probably would have killed you anyway. Like Butch and Sundance, we face two options that both lead to death. We can reject Christ and our soul dies, which the Bible describes as the second death. Or the other option is to follow Christ, which calls for a death to self. It is through this strange paradox of dying to self that Jesus says we find life. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning. To truly live, you have to die. In the next few minutes, I want to answer the question, according to Jesus, how do we find life by dying? How do we find life by dying? I want to suggest to you three ways from our passage today. The first way we find life by dying is this: let Jesus be maximized. Let Jesus be maximized. You say, Pastor Tim, what do you mean by that? Well, Jesus says here that anyone who loves his father or mother or son or daughter more than they love him is not worthy of him. This is a shocking statement. He's saying that one's love for him must be greater than their love for their closest blood relatives. That's quite a statement, isn't it? Is he insane? Is he on an ego trip? Or is he declaring a great spiritual truth and saying that he, as the Son of God, must have first place in the lives of those who claim to follow him? I submit to you this morning that it's the latter. Jesus wants to be in first place. To find life through dying, we first of all need to maximize Jesus. Say, Pastor Tim, why do you use that choice of words? Well, most computer users are familiar with the maximize, minimize feature on your computer screen. When you maximize a window on your computer screen, the image fills the screen and the other windows or images are in the background. They may still be open so you can access them, but your attention, right, is focused on whatever you have maximized to fill the screen. Same if you're a PC user or a Mac user. So in this passage, Jesus makes it perfectly clear that we are following him, that he is the focus, that he needs to fill our computer screen, if you will. Hebrews 12, chapter 12, verse 2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Colossians 1:1 says, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. If we want to live by dying, the first thing we need to do is let Christ be maximized. Let Christ be the center. Let Christ be what our life is all about. You know, people who know us well know what's really important to us because we talk about it constantly, don't we? We don't even realize it sometimes. You ever have your spouse or a friend or someone close to you say, man, you must really love such and such. Why do you say that? Because you talk about it all the time. We can't help ourselves. I want to ask you this morning respectfully, do those who know you know that Christ is the center of your life? Is he your highest love? Jesus wants to be number one in your life and mine. The Bible says that eternal life is found only in him. Have you received him as your Savior? And if so, is he the most important part of your life? These are vital questions. We find life when Jesus is maximized in our lives, when he is the most important part of our life, when he is front and center. We need to let Jesus be maximized. What's the second way we find life through dying? It's this: let self be minimized. Let self be minimized. When Jesus says that those who follow him must take up their cross, he is invoking a familiar image. Crucifixion was the most brutal, horrifying death known to man, and the Romans had perfected it. The condemned man would actually have to carry the top part of the cross, the crossbar, to the place of execution where he would be nailed on it and have it attached to the vertical beam and then dropped into a hole in the ground. He would hang there in agony for hours until he could no longer push himself upward in order to breathe, so he would eventually suffocate. Jesus would soon suffer this same fate. We celebrated a week ago Friday on Good Friday the victory won at the cross. You say, Pastor Tim, celebrated? Yes, it was a horrible, brutal death. But there Jesus won the victory for us and gave his life for us. But it was a brutal death. Jesus was not saying here that every one of his followers, however, should literally have to die on a cross, although a number of them did in the first century and following. But what he was saying is that to truly follow Jesus, one must die to his or her own desires and realize, as Rick Warren said in his best-selling book, The Purpose-Driven Life, that it's not about you. Thank you for that deathly quiet here. But that's the truth. This world and everything in it conditions us to think that it's about us. You don't believe me? Watch a few ads on television, although most of us try and avoid that, I understand. We fast forward through them. But if you ever happen to catch one, you're going to see it's all about your comfort, your happiness, your prosperity, making you happy in life. And we get this feeling, and for some of us it starts at a very early age, we get this feeling that it's all about me. It's all about what makes me happy. It's all about my agenda and my plan. And we have ourselves front and center. But it's not about you. It's not about me. In Galatians 2:20, Paul used similar imagery to that Christ used here to talk about dying to one's own desires. He said this, he said, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Minimizing self, dying to self. This concept is difficult to practice for a couple of reasons. First, we struggle with spiritual perception. Obviously, as I said, Jesus is referring to spiritual concepts, not physically carrying around an instrument of death with you all the time. He's not advocating either denying basic needs necessary to maintain physical life. The problem is we are so dominated by a focus on the material and the earthly that we're plagued with an inability to see spiritual things. You understand what I'm saying today? And if not, that's part of the problem. We are earthbound. And I get it. We live on planet Earth. We live in the real world. Sometimes we Christians get accused of not living in the real world. You know, of having a pie in the sky mentality, of being so heavenly minded we're no earthly good. And I get that. And we don't ever want to be people who are out of touch with reality. We have responsibilities to fulfill. We have work to do. We have bills to pay. We have relationship obligations. And we need, of course, to be involved in all that. We need to have our feet firmly planted on the ground. But that doesn't mean that we can't be attuned to spiritual truth, to spiritual things. God help us. So this concept of dying to self, of minimizing self, is hard for us because it's a spiritual concept that we don't often readily understand. The second reason minimizing self and dying to self is difficult is because we're just plain selfish. I'm including myself. I said we. So don't be offended. But we fight against the Lordship of Christ. We falsely believe that we could do a better job with our life than trusting His plan. Fact of the matter is, Jesus has what each of us desperately need, but we keep seeking to satisfy our selfish desires by looking to one earthly thing after another. I want to say this. If you hear nothing else I say today, hear this. You can't meet a spiritual need with an earthly resource. I'm going to say that again. You can't meet a spiritual need, which we all have, with an earthly resource. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, if we seek Him first, we will receive all the earthly things we need. Minimizing self, dying to our own desires, is a constant battle. Matter of fact, Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 15:31. He said, I die every day. What? The Bible says what? I die every day. What is he talking about? He's saying, I have to crucify my earthly, fleshly desires, myself, every single day. It's the constant exercise. It's a constant battle. I have to die to myself. I have to minimize myself because that's where true life is found, in minimizing self, dying to self, crucifying our own desires. That's why Jesus said, if anyone wants to follow me, he needs to take up his cross and follow me. If he looks to keep his life, he'll lose it. But if he loses his life for my sake, he's going to find it. That's how we find life, by dying to self. Respectfully ask, have you died to self? So, Pastor Tim, it's complicated. Hey, I get it. It's complicated for me too. The truth of the matter is, it's a never-ending process, because when we think we're doing pretty well and we're kind of floating along spiritually and we're doing pretty well, what happens? If we are a little bit spiritually perceptive, we see, hey, wow, I haven't quite killed that part of my flesh, that part of my desire. Pastor Tim, you don't understand. I did something really good for someone. I worked really hard on it, and I didn't get a thank you. It's killing the flesh. That's killing. That's dying to self. Pastor Tim, I didn't get that promotion I deserved, or I didn't get that raise I deserved, and I really worked hard, and I feel like I deserved it. Dying to self. Things, you know, my spouse wants to do one thing, I want to do the other, and I don't feel like I get my way. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I have to interrupt my series and preach a marriage series if I do that. Dying to self. Dying to self. That person cut me off in traffic. I'm going to let them know what I think about them. Honk. Full disclosure, I've done it. Full disclosure. Dying to self. To truly live, we must maximize Jesus and minimize self every single day. What's the third way we find life by dying? It's this: serve the marginalized. Serve the marginalized. Let Jesus be magnified. Let self be maximized. Let self be minimized, and serve the marginalized. In verses 40 and 41, which we did not read, Jesus talks about the fact that whoever receives someone sent to them is actually receiving the one who sent them and will be rewarded for doing so. Receiving a prophet's reward for welcoming a prophet, receiving a righteous man's reward for welcoming a righteous man. Then he ends this passage by saying that a disciple of his would be rewarded for even giving a cup of cold water to, quote, one of these little ones. Now, giving a cup of cold water to someone on a hot day was recognized in that culture, as I imagine it still would be in ours, it was recognized as an act of kindness. Now, it's not clear who the little ones Jesus referred to here were. They could have been children who were standing nearby as he spoke, or he could be referring to just everyday people who weren't part of society's elite. But his point is that as his followers who have died to self, we must be willing to serve the marginalized, the down and outers, the needy, the ones who couldn't pay us back if they wanted to. Serve the marginalized. You know what I mean by marginalized? Pushed to the margins of society, not the elite, not seen by many as important. Serve the marginalized. Heard a story about a man named Ron Elliott. He was a caregiver at a nursing home in London when he won a $12.8 million jackpot in the lottery. He had been a middle-class caregiver up to that time, and then he became a rich caregiver because the day after winning the lottery, $12.8 million, he returned to work with plans to keep working as long as he could. This is what he said. Listen to this. He said, "My clients have dementia and suffer from memory loss. They don't care that I've won the lottery, and they still need care." Serving the marginalized. Romans 15, 1 and 2 says, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up." You see, following Jesus is not a passive lifestyle. Dying to self is not just saying no to the things we want. It's serving everyone we can, especially the marginalized, the ones who can't help themselves. We probably won't get recognized for it, okay? Write that down. We probably won't get recognized for it, and we may not even get a thank you. But that's okay, because we've died to self. And dead people don't need thank yous, do they? They just need to serve. And we ultimately will be rewarded, but just not in this life. But again, that's okay if we die to self. Because dead people don't need rewards, do they? Can you think of someone from the marginalized part of society that you can serve? Can you think of someone right here and now? Go and serve them. And many of you do, I've seen it. But go and serve those who need help the most. That's true living. You see, the world says that true living is being served. And I mean, that's appealing, isn't it? Having someone cater to your every need and your whim and taking care of all your wants. The world says, that's living. But the Bible says the best life, real living, is a life of service. Serving the marginalized. Conclusion this morning, we asked the question at the beginning of this message, how do we find life by dying? How do we find life by dying? First of all, we said, let Jesus be maximized. Let Jesus fill the computer screen of your life, if you will. Let Jesus be front and center. Let Jesus be the most important thing in our lives. How about it today? Is Jesus number one? Is he maybe number two or three or down the list? Let Jesus be maximized, even above the human relationships we count most dear. Secondly, we said we find life by dying by letting self be minimized. It's not about us. It's not about us. And like Paul, we have to die to self, to selfish desires, every single day. And we need to develop, if we're truly followers of Jesus, we need to develop the mentality that when things go wrong, and I'm full disclosure, I'm not there yet. I have those days, why did this have to happen to me? You know, and we have pity parties. Those are the kind of parties we throw and nobody shows up. Why me? But it's because our self needs to be crucified. We need to die to self. We need to minimize self. And thirdly, serve the marginalized. Serve the ones who can't thank you. Serve the ones who can't pay you back. Jesus said in one place, when you've done it to the least of these, meaning the marginalized, you've done it to me. We're serving him. Amen. It seems counterintuitive at first blush, but the truth of the matter is, we find life, true life, by dying. Have you found that life? Have you died to self? Those are critical questions we need to answer.